Introduce ourselves. Let us introduce ourselves. My name is Frank Peters. I work for Sun Microsystems in Hamburg, and I'm managing the documentation team for OpenOffice and StarOffice, or to be precise, for StarOffice. We're doing online help, basically, and documentation specific to StarOffice available from docs.sun.com.
My name is Uwe Fischer. Unfortunately, I don't have a microphone. I hope you hear me. I'm a tech writer at Sun in Hamburg, and my main responsibility is writing the online help and fixing the bugs and issues that the community provides.
So I believe that this is the first time that we have a session dedicated to documentation at one of the OpenOffice conferences. Which is, on one hand, it's not astounding, on the other hand, it is astounding, because documentation is sort of the neglected child of software development. Developers seem to think in lines of code, not lines of documentation. Documentation is always, or very often, only tackled at the very end of a project, when it's often too late to get the project to documentation done in time. So the very first question to ask if we're thinking about documentation is, why do we need to have documentation at all? Ideally, we would have products that are self-explaining. You don't need anything, any explanation to be able to work with them. But if software has reached a certain level of complexity, of course, it is no longer possible to make it self-explanatory in all aspects. So where does documentation help? It helps, obviously, users to work with the application, to work efficiently, productively. It helps developers to program for the application. We're here on the conference addressing we're predominantly developers, contributors, who contribute something to the project. And it's very important that we have a low barrier for them to get started on the project. So here's where documentation can help, it should help. And of course, administrators can be helped to configure application and deployments. And in some regions and countries, documentation is also mandatory. It's required by local regulations. But documentation can be even more. Documentation can raise product awareness. If you have things like a getting started guide, guides that help newbie users to get first contact with the software, they of course can improve the experience with the product instead of causing frustration and searching for the option and searching for the function inside the UI. Good documentation can guide the user through the application and help him be productive. It lowers ramp-up barriers, like I said, especially when you first approach a software new to you, there is a knowledge gap. You don't know where to start. Documentation can help you ramp up more quickly. This especially is true, of course, for developer documentation, because the users, since OpenOffice.org uses a standard user interface, everyone who's been using Microsoft Office should be able to ramp up pretty quickly in using OpenOffice.org. But developing for the OpenOffice.org is a totally different thing. So it finally can lead to the adoption of the product. When I have a good experience in using it, I will adopt it and continue using it. And last but not least, it can also lower the support load. This can be support queries companies like Sun, but it also can disburden some of the support mailing lists from standard queries that tend to come in more and more often, and instead let these groups focus on more advanced problems. And yeah, well, last but not least, documentation very often needs to straighten out what implementation wasn't able to finalize. So any usability bugs and issues in the program are often catched by a documentation. There is already a lot of documentation around for OpenOffice. Traditionally, we have two branches. One branch is represented by us, by Uwe and myself. We're coming from Sun Microsystems, and we're doing documentation for StarOffice predominantly. This has historical reasons. When the code base of OpenOffice, StarOffice, was open sourced to be openoffice.org, initially the documentation was not included. This came in later. This led to the fact that the documentation.openoffice.org community developed independently from Sun documentation. So what we have now is we have documentation at Sun doing online help, which is the same for StarOffice and OpenOffice. This is completely equivalent. And we have the Sun documentation team making documents specific for StarOffice, delivered by Sun through Sun channels like docs.sun.com. But there also are many guides, of course, available from the documentation at OpenOffice or community that are specifically focused on OpenOffice. This is a short list of what we have. Of course, online help for us, as we see it, it's really the part we focus on. It currently has around 400,000 words, so it's really a big thing. And I think it should be in the focus because it's the very first entry point for a user using the product. At least it should be. Then there are getting started guides, user guides. There is a basic guide by Sun. We have migration developers, administration guides. And we have numerous other documents on documentation at sun.com. And of course, other sorts of sources of information. What you can see here, by the way, is we have some overlap. There is a getting started guide from the community, and there's a getting started guide from Sun. There is an administration guide from us, and I believe Jerry told me that they have an administration guide prepared as well.
Yes, it's in the works, and we have different user guides from OpenOffice.org on different websites. That's an unfortunately fact. If you like unique places to get your documentation, but it's a fortunate fact if you like different entry points to documentation. So not every author writes the same style, and you can get different styles this way, at least.
But of course, as you see, somehow it's a waste of resources if you have two groups working on the same type of documentation. So ultimately, the groups should work together to produce one set of documentation and concentrate the work on that. Well, as I said before, our main focus is online help, and I would like to take some minutes to explain where we are with OpenOffice online help right now. When I say online help, is maybe a misunderstanding. It's not really online. That's the help that's delivered with a product. It's installed with a product. Up to OpenOffice 1, the online help had the help had a source format that made it very hard for external parties to contribute, because it was based on the StarOffice format back then and had some undefined, unspecified proprietary additions. So what we did for OpenOffice 2, we defined the new XML format and migrated all the help into this new format, integrated the help in as a module in the product CVS, so it's now available as any other module in the product CVS, and integrated it into the build environment of the rest of the product. So what we have now is a source format. The help sources were already open since 1.x, but this was only in theory because contribution was so hard. Now they're converted into an XML format that is well documented. It's a very easy and straightforward DTD, very easy to handle. We first considered putting it into another standardized DTD like DocBook or something else, but we finally came to the conclusion that these types of DTDs were far too complex for an online help. We wanted to keep it simple. We would lose flexibility, but we would gain the ability to get ramped up quickly and to easily create documents. So we have a source format. We have a repository, which everyone can access. That's the code base. There's a help module. It's called Help Content 2. It is, like I said, it behaves like any other code module. It follows branches. It can be different in minor releases and so forth. The module itself, it's largely autonomous, so everything for the help is contained in Help Content 2, with two exceptions. That is, the images and the trigger data for the help agent, they are placed somewhere else. But apart from that, there are very, very few dependencies to the rest of the product. Localization was a crucial point. The localization of the help files goes with the help files. So the localized strings for the help are part of the Help Content 2 module. You find in every directory, in every help directory, you'll find a file called localize.stf that contains all the localized strings of the current directory. In addition to that, we started to, a while ago, we started to develop some kind of lightweight authoring framework for our internal help authors. The fact that we choose an XML format as help format, an easy XML format, and the fact that OpenOffice.org's, that the ODF is based on XML, and we have a feature that allows us to manipulate XML files, allowed us to create an authoring framework with all the means we already have in OpenOffice. We didn't need anything additional. So you could either take the help files and use any text editor or any XML editor, open them and change them. Of course, you have to learn about the file format first, and there's documentation available about that on documentation openoffice.org/onlinehelp. So you need to know how to use the elements, how to place them, but it's really pretty straightforward. But what we also have, a framework that consisting of macros, menus, and XSL filters that allows us to edit the help files using OpenOffice. So what you do is you open the help file with OpenOffice and you save it back to the help format. Unfortunately, this current framework is still not ported from OpenOffice 1.x to 2. So this work is ongoing. If anyone is interested to participate, you're very welcome to do so. The last point points to the site where you can find the guide describing the technical details and how it works. So now we have sources, we have an authoring framework. So what we also need is processes to be sure that the help is processed to that we get to the result that we actually want. So we piggyback on the engineering process. So we brought help into as a CVS module into the code base, and we use the existing engineering tools for building the help. So there are make files that control the help build, and it all fits nicely in the existing build environment. So we no longer have, we used to have to deal with building the help and distributing the help and bringing it in binary format into the release. We no longer need to do that. So if you build an office, help will automatically be built with it. Which is, not everyone likes that though, because help is large. Especially if you do office builds in many languages. Like I said, 400,000 words, help build also contains creation of search indexes and creation of keyword indexes and many other things that are pretty time-consuming, especially if you multiply them by the number of languages we have. So that's, the backside of it, I guess. But all that is available in the OpenOffice codebase. You can download it and play with it and work with it. So as a little intermission, I would just remind you of what we have, what features the OpenOffice Help has, because I'm not sure about how many of you actually do use it. People tend to be very reluctant in pressing F1 and rather switching to the browser and ask Google or your neighbor. I would probably also ask my neighbor before I press F1, but I press F1 before I ask Google, because Help is actually very helpful. We have tips. These are the little yellow bubbles that come up on the UI elements. They just basically tell you that's the name of the UI element, and these are implemented by developers. But there are extended tips that are activated by Shift F1 that give you more description of what a UI element actually does. There is context-sensitive help. So if you are anywhere in the UI and press F1, you should get context-sensitive information about where you are. Now, this doesn't work everywhere. We don't have context-sensitive information for each and every context in the application. But we would like to have some. We're working on it. And by the way, if you find a place and press F1 and you don't get to where you would think you would be led by the application, file a bug, let us know. Where was I? Content sensitive help agent. The help agent is a special case. It's kind of the neglected child of the help, which itself is a neglected child of software development. So the help agent, you know, is the little window, the question mark or the bulb, the light bulb appearing at the right bottom corner. Some hate it, some don't love it. It's kind of, it's hardly used. It's often neglected. And I must confess that we're not very focused on the help agent. So for OpenOffice 3, I know that we have on the radar to do something with it, either abandon it completely or make it to be something, you know, sensible. Right now it's not really obvious. We have a keyboard index. We have a help table of contents. So this is a table of contents that's often misunderstood. The help is not organized like a book. So the table of contents in the help does not reflect every help topic, but rather should be one of the entry points that you have when you want to browse through the help, want to find something. Currently these are maintained manually, so we basically maintain a list of files that we want to refer to in the table of contents. And we have a search engine that needs improvement, and I know it will be improved for the next version. We have that on our radar too, sorry. Because the current implementation doesn't always return the results you would expect. And basically the implementation has a lot of bugs. We want to get over them. I think this is all that a state-of-the-art help application would need. So for the technically interested, what actually happens when you call the help? When you're inside the office and you call and you press F1 or click on the help button inside the dialog, the help ID and the application context, meaning I'm a writer, I'm in Calc, I'm in Impress, is sent to the help content provider, which itself looks up the help ID in a database which basically is a matching table between help ID and help file to call. So what you get back is a help file associated with the ID. The help file is then fetched from the help file archive.jar. So that means we have in a help installation, we have a jar file, an archive for every help, help section for writer, for calc, for base, for draw, for impress. These are nothing else than a zip version of all help source files. So the help source files are contained in the final delivery of the help. File is extracted, is sent to an XSL transformator, which uses the main transform XSL. That's a file that's also present in the help directory, to process it, and after resolving references, outputs HTML, which then is displayed by the help viewer. And the help viewer is basically OpenOffice Writer plugged in the help window. So it's OpenOffice Writer that displays the HTML content of the help. Well, the beauty of this solution is that you have all information that's contained in the source files, you have there. And by means of the XSL transformation, the main transform XSL, you can manipulate that. For example, what we did is we created a special main transform XSL file that output additional information that's useful for QAing, for localization and stuff, like paragraph IDs that are used when localizing the files. So you can do all the fancy stuff with the XML files that you can do with XML and XSLT. Okay, so what actually happens when we author and work on the online help? It's like a view from 10,000 feet. You could either work in a CWS, which is a child workspace, basically a closed workspace, a snapshot of the code base where you do your changes, and after the changes are verified, these are put back into the master workspace. It's like a mechanism, methodology in developing software that ensures that we don't interfere with the main trunk of the application and don't destroy it by accident. So you could either work in this quite heavyweight environment, or what you could also do, of course, is just open the help file, edit it, save it again, and submit it as a patch, and let us do the ugly work. You can work on the XML files as such. You don't need a heavyweight environment. And when you do edit them, you can use the framework. Either you use 1.x, or you help us port it to 2.0. Or you use a text editor or XML editor to make the changes. You should, in fact, consult the authoring guide beforehand so have an idea what the elements mean and what the how the help framework works. Then you verify the changes. You make sure that everything you wanted to change has been changed and that everything is actually accurate and okay. And then you have it. Then you hand it back. You send it as a patch, or you build the help module. And then you have the new help, the changed help module compiled. You can take it, put it on a running OpenOffice installation, and just check if the help is okay. So you don't even need to rebuild the whole office. You can just take the help. It's delivered in zip files after you built it, put it under a running instance of OpenOffice. Restart the office and you should see the changes. So this actually is also suited, of course, when you want to play with the files. Okay, back to the main track. So one of the reasons why we're here is we think that the current situation in having sort of two documentation tracks, one inside and one outside of Sun, makes no sense. So what we want to do is, apart from the fact that we want to open source all documents that are currently closed source and contribute them to the community, we would also like to be a more nice citizen of the community and ask you to help us with the help. We would be eager to help you with documentation. Actually, we would need some help with the help. Help is giant. It's really big. It's a lot of content. And there's still a lot of things missing, and we still have quite a few bugs in there, because a lot of the content is legacy content from... who started with StarOffice 3, I think?
Yes, the help is in some places very ancient, and it has been written in German in former times, of course, and in a very long-winded way to express things, because we had not the use of any translations with the accompanying costs of money. So, well, one day we decided to change the source language from German to English for the help, which had to be in a rush, as often when important things have to be done. So it is not 100% translated. The quality is not 100%, but we tried to fix it after that, and now the online help should be quite okay in English. And but still there are open ends, of course, some dark corners which we don't dare to touch.
Yeah, basically we have a lot of dark corners there where the application has dark corners, like the chart module, which is GET3 implemented right now, and the base was freshly made. So these were, of course, areas where also the help was kind of dodgy.
The math help needs a major overhaul.
So how can you help us? Of course, there are different, our suggestion is there are different phases. There are different levels of contribution. The first thing, of course, and many of you already do this, and I ask you to continue to do this, submit issues, submit bugs. Yes, please.
How about translation bugs?
Translation bugs? File translation bugs, although technically we're not doing the translation bugs, but we were happy to forward them to the translation folks to fix them. Yeah, go ahead. Very, very important.
Yes, fortunately, we only care for the English sources.
No, we care for all help, of course, but we only work on English sources.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Is there a single bug tracking system for both Store Office and Open?
Yes, we use the same bug tracking system, which is IssueZilla.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then the localization, they have a separate category or something?
There is a separate category for localization bugs, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you can select that. So you can report bugs. Continue to report bugs. Notify us of any issues. And of course, also suggestions if you think something should be changed. The next best thing you could do is not only suggest changes, but actually submit the patches. So say, I already took the file and I fixed that bug, and here it is. Or I wrote a new file because I thought the help is missing or is lacking. A file that describes this and that. Here I wrote it, here it is. That would be the next phase. Actually, I should get to the next slide. It's more detailed. So back to the report box, I forget about this. So all you need is an OpenOffice.org installation, an account on OpenOffice.org to be able to file bugs. Get a little familiar with the bug tracking system. That can be a bit confusing if you use it for the first time. You don't need any programming experience. You don't need any knowledge of the help file format. You don't need any long-term commitment. You just find the issues, like wrong instructions, terminology flaws, missing descriptions, wrong localizations, of course, and report them using IssueZilla. And what you get finally is we get a better help, because we're not able to spot each and every bug in the help. And we may start having a top 10 list of who is the best, you know, the top 10 issue submitters on OpenOffice.org. Next phase, submit patches. You need the same as for phase one, but you should need some knowledge of the XML help format because you're working with it. You're making changes to the help files. But you still don't need any programming experience, and you also don't need any long-term commitment. You report the issues, and you attach a suggested patch to the issue. You say, here's the issue, this is wrong, this should be fixed, and I actually fixed it, here's the patch. Still get a better help, but now it contains your personal contribution. You fixed the bug, you are the one. And maybe we also have a list of top 10 patch submitters lists. Now, we were there, weren't we? Where's the difference? Okay, so this is like the next advanced step is not only to submit single patches, but work in a CWS that is maybe maintained by yourself or by us, and collaborate and fix bugs inside the CVS, CWS, I should say. Usually a CWS is attached to a number of bugs, a number of issues, and all these issues are fixed inside this CWS in the code, in this workspace. And after that, we verify that everything has been fixed, handed over, and it gets integrated into the main trunk of the application. So if you want, you can participate helping fixing these bugs. And of course, next thing is not only help fixing bugs, but starting to create and modify help, create new help files. You should then know about how the help is structured. It has a certain organization and structure, although it doesn't, may not be that apparent, but there is structure in help. So what you do is you now start to write new help files in a CWS, or you start working on a section like we mentioned that is long neglected and needs some, you know, refurbishing, some brush up, restructuring, for example. And this could either, again, be a CWS shared with other contributors, maintained by one, this could be us, or someone from the community. And again, we could think about giving you credit as a help author, and your contribution will be there. Downloaded millions of times throughout the world. Cool. So this is like the platinum, premier help ambassador king thingy sponsor help area. But you need a long-term commitment to that. We need long-term commitment to the help. So it would mean that you are responsible for a specific help area. Like, for example, we have the math help, which is a tiny little area inside all of OpenOffice help, and you sort of check it from time to time, care for bugs that come in for that area, monitor accuracy, suggest changes, think about how it could be restructured, things like that. A help sponsor obviously is someone who should get credit on the website and with, I don't know, posters all over town. So this is a big thing, and I don't expect you to start as a help sponsor right away, but it may be something for the long term. That's the present. What's the future? Like I said, we want to intensify the collaboration between Sun and the community. It hasn't quite been as good as it should have been. We encourage you to help working on the online help, and we offer help on other documents. We provide what we have as books on docs.sun.com to the community. Like I said, we have a developer's guide that is, of course, available, but technically it's not yet open source. It's a license question, but we're working on it. Lawyers are involved, so please bear with us. Basic guide, admin guide, getting started guide. We will improve the reuse of existing docs, so thereby minimizing the overlap that we see. You know, it makes no sense if we have multiple authors writing the same stuff over and over again. We can reuse content. We should do that. And I think we should also improve document version tracking and repositories so that we can assure that everything you find on the website, documentation, OpenOffice, or wherever you can get documentation is up to date and accurate, not ancient and for former versions. We should be maintaining a visible doc status list. I know that the documentation project is doing a great job in keeping an eye on all that, and they actually have a list of tasks, but I think it could be a bit more visible. Ideally, if you come to the project and see I want to contribute, you the first thing you'd see, here are the tasks, pick one, start, get going. Maybe we'd implement regular phone meetings between the core team members. What we need is feedback channels. It's really, this is a very hard thing in documentation, is to get feedback from the ones that use the documentation, so you know what you actually need. We think we know what you need, but we don't know for sure if you don't tell us. So what we need to implement is feedback. And I talked to Bernard today, and this is the last thing. Consistent presentation of docs and templates. Documentation must have the same appearance, must fit into the branding scheme of OpenOffice.org must be consistent, must look professional, because this is, apart from the software, this is for many people, if the first contact with the software is over documentation, like a getting started guide or other help. So it must look the same. But of content governance model, we need a model that where we are clear about who decides what gets documented in what way. One of the ideas that we have and we're looking into is to take the online help content that's delivered with a product and actually really deliver it online, in, for example, in form of a wiki, just to enable feedback and collaboration, so that someone who finds a bug in the help and it does not want to file a bug or has suggestions or has like, it works differently for me, and if I have this and this and this setup, this works for me actually, can just put it in the wiki and we harvest the information that gets input in, gets fed in there. Web 2.0, buzzword, I know, but there are lots of other delivery channels that we yet are to open, wikis, I don't know, blogs, whatever, especially dynamic targeted documentation. That means you're not, as a user, overwhelmed by all of it, but with some intelligent system, or by some intelligent algorithm, the system knows who you are and presents the documentation that's targeted to you. I know that's very, you know, in the future, but we should have a look and lots more. So if you have any ideas, please let us know. We're open for everything, and especially for feedback. These are the it's the new, very newly generated mailing list set up by Jerry. Thanks, Jerry, who can, by the way, cannot be here today. This is where you find information about the online help. And this is our mail addresses, Uwe and myself. Thanks. Any questions? Yes, please.
So, in regards of the wiki thing, are there any tools ready for the conversion from the online help markup to the wiki markup?
No, they're not. I'm currently discussing that with Kai Rame, who is one of our architects, who's very much into wikis. The problem is that we want to have a way in making the wiki content more structured, so that we actually make it easy to get the information that is in the wiki back out. Otherwise it will be in the wiki and will be there forever. But no, we don't have yet a conversion. But it shouldn't be too complicated. We have XML here and there is a wiki markup there, so. Yes, please.
I imagine that you have some kind of FAQ or support questions.
Actually, yeah, we're working on, we have refurbished the site, the online help site. There, we should have an FAQ, but we don't actually currently have.
Okay. I was wondering if there was a way that you could harvest the, you know, the incoming questions. How does this work?
Oh, that you mean? Oh, that's some misunderstanding. Yeah, what we have is, what we actually harvest is all the feedback channels that we know of. This is news groups, for example, support queries, mailing lists. All this stuff is Martina, who's in Hamburg, is devoting some of her time going through these groups and actually looking what is needed by users. Yes. And of course, on documentation, OpenOffice.org, you also find an FAQ list. Any more? Okay, then thanks for coming.